For a minute, Lord, we thank you for Linda Cho, our awesome, dynamic guest speaker, would take some time to come and speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given her an awesome word. Lord, and we bless her to be sensitive, and we bless her, Lord, by asking you to make us sensitive to every word which she speaks. We pray, Lord, that even as you manifest yourself through her, Lord, that we would find ourselves in awe of you. Ha. And so, Lord, as she comes up to speak, Lord, I pray that you would bless her, Lord, double, pressed down and shaken and running over. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Jay. How's everyone doing today? Good, excellent. Give me 1 second. Normally, I like to print out my notes, but I don't have a printer right now. Actually, it's somewhere in boxes because my husband and I just recently moved, and so it's our place is still a total disaster. You would think we moved in yesterday, but it's been a month and it's still a total disaster. So I'm like, oh Jesus, forgive me. All right, well. Thank you, Jay and Vero, and the team here for having me come to Midtown. I love this church. It's been a while since I've been here. It's good to see all the babies that have grown up. I can't believe it. I think the last I remember, Mike and Carrie only had one, and Grace and Joseph only had one, and Mike and Gwen still didn't have Selah, and it's one of those things where now I'm coming and everyone's on number two, and number two's really big running around and looking gorgeous, so it's so awesome to be here. It's really, really wonderful. Midtown is such a special church, and you're such a prophetic church with such a prophetic destiny and a prophetic calling on this campus. So I bless you in the name of Jesus to walk in that incredible supernatural prophetic calling that God has on Midtown. You are a campus like no other, and I just bless you to walk in that identity and in that confidence of knowing that God has called each one of you here into this campus for a very specific reason. And I bless you to dig into the supernatural and dig in to the things and the revelations that God has for you, because there's no place like Midtown. So I just want to honor this church and honor the leadership that is just so open to letting God move in supernatural ways. And every time I come and just hearing Jason and Vero share, like even today, Jay, as you were giving the word about seeing God with the hair as white as wool and just almost even quoting Revelations, it gave me chills down my whole spine, because I'm like, yes, God, you are that glorious and you are that awesome, and it's such a blessing that each one of you get to experience that every Sunday. So that's pretty awesome. So I bless you guys. I'm just going to I am quite short, so it's a little bit. Anyway, today I just really feel so honored to be here. For those of you who I have not had the chance of meeting, my name is Linda, and my husband Samuel and I, we pastor at Catch the Fire at the airport campus, which we usually affectionately call the mothership. It's just, ooh, mothership. No, I'm kidding. Sam and I, we have, our history is church planting, and so I love coming to campuses where I feel like I'm at home, like this is home for me, so it's pretty amazing. I don't know what else I can share. Jay and Vero were a part of the leadership team when we were at Central back in the day, and they went off and planted Midtown. We're like, it's just so awesome. So we have a long time of being friends and colleagues, and I look up to them very much spiritually, so they're pretty awesome. Anyway, so I guess that's a little bit about me. I just really felt, I was praying for Midtown while I was preparing on what to share, and I really feel, and if with your permission, to just share from my heart, and not only just to share from my heart, but to share from my own personal life experiences. And most recently, I've just been overwhelmed by Jesus, and I have been overwhelmed by how awesome he is and how beautiful he is and how good he is. And I've been overwhelmed by the love of God that is so faithful and so true despite all of our circumstances, in the midst of all of our circumstances, and beyond all of our circumstances. And the God that we serve is a living God, not a God that has no ears and no eyes. In Psalms, there's a verse that says, you know, they have idols with ears that cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have arms, but they cannot reach out and touch. And yet we have a God who is living and breathing and moves and is ever present in our lives. And that is who we serve. And just being overwhelmed by the goodness of God, not because life is peachy, but because he is good. Right? Amen. I really felt like I wanted to share today on 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 being almost like the theme of today's message, which it says, a simple, short verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. If you want to read it, we can read it. Second Corinthians 5, verse 7 literally says this in the New International Version. For we live by faith and not by sight. Let's say that together. For we live by faith and not by sight. One more time. For we live by faith and not by sight. And that's who we are as children of God, our sons and daughters who live by faith and not by sight. And I want to just unpack this for each one of us. And I don't want to give a message that, causes us to be like, oh, I don't have enough faith in my life, because that's not the point, right? Jesus says if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, if anyone's seen a mustard seed, it's like the size of a speck of dust, so it's pretty awesome. And I remember one time feeling so, having such lack of faith, I said, Jesus, I don't even feel like my faith is the size of a mustard seed. And he just said to me, Linda, the fact that you're telling me that, your faith is already bigger than a mustard seed. So it's like, that's pretty awesome. Thank you, God. So it's not about feeling like we have or we don't have faith. It's all about us walking in the fact that we already do have it. Amen? Romans 8, verse 14. I'm going to spit out a lot of scripture verses. If you want, you can either turn with me or you can just jot them down and look it over when you're at home. But Romans 8, verse 14 reads, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And each one of us here in this room are men and women of God who are his sons. And thus, we live by his Spirit. I'm going to read out some more verses. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you feel like sometimes in our walk and in our life, our emotions go on a roller coaster? Yes? Am I the only one? No? Anyone? Yes? Life is a roller coaster. Thank you, Trevor. How many of you ever noticed where in our walk with the Lord, we hear these things like, God is my provider, and yet I take a look at my bank account and I'm like, I'm not seeing that. It's like, okay. Or how many of you have ever experienced, hey, God is your healer, and you're like, I still have pain in my body. Or how many of you experienced where it says, you know, that, you know, in Psalms, it talks about how the favor of God surrounds us like a shield, and we keep bumping into obstacle upon obstacle upon obstacle in our lives. And it is so hard to maintain any shred of faith we have in our hearts. Yes? We all experience that in our walk. And that's what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is those moments where it's like, God, I am on a roller coaster. I know what the Bible says, but this is my experience, and right now I am not feeling so great. And then what happens? We experience a testimony. We experience God having breakthrough in one area of our lives. And we're like, wow, God, you're so awesome. And then 2 days later, we're like, boom, what am I going to do about this situation? Right? And so often in our lives, we live in this emotional and spiritual roller coaster where we're like, God, there is a disparity between what is written in your word and what is happening in my life. And I need some sort of connection happening there. I need to understand what is going on in this area of my life. I need to know that you are faithful, truly faithful, even when I am faithless. It's amazing because the Bible talks about how God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? It also talks about how he's a rock, he's our strong tower. Every description of God is like he's like this steady force, you know, this unchanging steady force. And again, that in contrast, in comparison to what we're going through, there's also disparity. And when David talks about how God is my rock, sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm standing on quicksand, you know? I'm like, I'm actually looking out for a vine. Forget a rock. I don't know where a rock is. I'm like, give me a vine to keep me from drowning. And yet he is our rock. So let's talk about this. Okay, Jesus. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much that you love every single individual in this room with a passionate and everlasting love. Father, I thank you that in this room, you call each one of us by name. Not only do you call us by the name that our parents named us, Father, you have set aside that name for us from the beginning of time. I thank you, Jesus, that nothing about us is a mistake, that nothing about who we are is by accident, that, Father, nothing, no detail of our lives has been missed by you or has been overlooked by you, but rather we are the apple of your eye, meaning we are the center of your attention. We are the focus of all that you do. That, God, when you open your eyes, you see me. When you open your eyes, you see Jay. When you open your eyes, you see Carrie. When you open your eyes, you see Mike. God, when you open your eyes, you see your children. You see Joelle. God, I thank you that when you open your eyes, you see each one in this room. And Father, you are so passionately in love and passionately involved in everything that we do, that your heart's desire is for us to walk in the truth of who you are, not based on the circumstances of our lives. And I ask you, Father, that you would come and even bring that spirit of revelation, Father. I even ask you, Lord, that you would come and use this mouth and use this voice to share your heart and your truth to your children here in this room. So, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in your precious name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so in the Word of God and based on his Word, God has created us to live spirit, soul, and body. Yes, we're all in agreement, right? God's called us to live based out of our spirit man, and our spirit man is one with God. Our spirit man is that passionate warrior inside of each one of us that knows the truth of who God is because we are in union with the Spirit of Truth, who is God. 1 Corinthians, I love this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Gives us this amazing commentary almost on what the Spirit of God is like. Okay, so where should I start? Okay, so let's start in verse 6. I'm just reading this. This is one of my favorite passages. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood." Keep that in mind. None of the rulers of this age has understood. if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love him? Then do you know that it has not even entered into your own imagination all that God has prepared for you? It can't even enter, not only into your imagination, but even into your comprehension. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit, this is capital S Spirit, the Spirit of God, searches all things, even the depths of God. So if you can imagine the Spirit of God that searches all things, even the depths of God, how many of you have ever said in your heart to God, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know the depths of who you are. If you've ever said that, that's your spirit man in unison with the Spirit of God who searches the depths of God saying, hey, we're in unison. I want you to know the depths of God, right? So for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So awesome. Which, again, I'm not even going to continue. You guys can keep reading if you want. Basically, this incredible Spirit of God that searches the depths of God is in unison with our spirit man. And so, in the way that God designed for you and I to function and to live and to move is to live from that place of being in unison with the truth of God, okay? So number one, God has created us to live by our spirit man, okay? Bill Johnson has this amazing, I love Bill Johnson, he's one of my spiritual favorites, and I just love hearing what he has to say, and every time I do, I get wowed and wowed and wowed. But one of the things that Bill Johnson says is that there are different levels of truth, and we know that, right? For instance, one level of truth is we are all sinners. How many of you know that's true, right? However, there's a greater truth that says we are also saved by grace, right? And then a greater truth that says we are in one with Christ, seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, co-heirs of Jesus, right? So there's all these greater truths. And in our circumstances, in our daily lives, the circumstances that you and I are going through is a truth. It's happening. It's real. You can't say, Linda, you can't tell me that I don't have a job. You can't tell me that that's not true, because it's true. That's what I'm going through right now. That is reality in my life. That is definitely a truth. However, how many of you know that no matter what you are going through, there is a greater truth and a higher reality and a greater reality that overcomes and goes above and beyond every circumstance and every issue that we are going through in our lives? I love what Carrie was talking about this morning before worship, where she said, let's just put all of our concerns, give it to Jesus. Let's take all of our worries and give it to Jesus right now. And I think for me, that is something that is so important, because so oftentimes we, instead of living according to our spirit man that is one with Christ and in tune with the highest truth of who God is, how many of you know in life and in our society and in our upbringing, it has been slightly inverted, right? Instead of living spirit, soul, and body, we end up living body, soul, spirit. We end up living according to the thoughts and the mindset of this world. We end up living according to the doubts and the fears of our daily lives. We live according to being shifting and swapping and being tossed around like in the waves of our circumstances. And I can say that from personal experience. I know for me, I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm coming to the tail end, praise God, of a journey in my physical body. For the past 2.5 years, I've actually, January of 2009, I was diagnosed with some major heart and lung problems. I was diagnosed with, it was so severe that My husband and I were only married for 6 months, and I don't know any of you newly married, Trevor, maybe you know, but I wanted babies right away. I'm like, I just want babies, 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 babies. And we've only been married for 6 months, even 3 months, and I'm like, babies. And right at January 2009, we've been married for half a year, so 6 months. It was so severe, this heart and lung condition, that my doctor called me, you know, way past office hours, freaking out, saying, don't have sex. She's like, you can't get pregnant. Do not get pregnant. You cannot get pregnant. And she started spouting all these things like mortality, if you get pregnant, baby dies, you die, don't you dare, this is a big deal, crazy, crazy, crazy. And so I began in January of 2009 a process of doctor appointment after doctor appointment after doctor appointment after doctor appointment, needles after needles. I felt like a pincushion. At one point, I was getting radiation, you know, dye put into my veins and then going into like million-dollar machines and having radiation all over me and breathing in radiation and all kinds of things. And in this process, and every time I met with the doctors, every single time I went to meet with a heart specialist or a lung specialist or a fertility specialist or whatever they're called, the gynecologist, every time I went, the news just got worse and worse and worse and worse. So it went from you have a hole in your heart, it's not a big deal, we can fix it, to you have a hole in your heart, it's a really big freaking deal, you better not do anything, to, oh, by the way, it looks like you don't just have a heart problem, you have a lung problem, worst case scenario, you need a lung transplant, and then to, you can't have kids ever. I'm like, are you joking me? Like, one after another, after another, after another. And I went through this incredible process of not only physical difficulty, but if ever in my life, this is the one time where my faith was shaken, right? The whole thing of living spirit, soul, and body was shaken because my body was saying something, my soul was freaking out, and my spirit was beginning to shake. And it went to a point where it got really, really tough. I was really emotionally, how do I say this? When I first got diagnosed, I kind of had this like nonchalant, happy-go-lucky attitude, like, oh, it's all good, my body's sick, but my soul and my spirit are perfect, we're doing great, you know, everything's fine. And then as more news came, I'm like, maybe I'm feeling less fine, to, oh my gosh, I want to fall into a hole and never come out, right? So I was going through a really difficult time, And Sam and I had planted at that point North York, which is, yay, Jason, a young adult congregation that we loved so much. And it's been 2 years, in the summer of 2009, it had been 2 years that we were with North York. And the church had grown from 12 to 100. Like, it was such a blessing from God. But I came to a point where I was no longer able to care for anyone else because I could barely care for myself. I was in such a desperate place, so hurting, so dry, so scared, so shaken that I had to tell Steve and Sandra, I can't pastor anymore. Like, I can barely take care of myself. How can I possibly take care of anyone else? How can I possibly take care of a congregation that I love? I can't even get myself up to take a shower. And so, thankfully, with their permission, with their love, and with their blessing, they moved me out and moved Sam and I out and put in another pastoral couple into our place. And then we ended up taking a season of, I guess, rest from ministry, but not necessarily rest from life, you know. The prognosis just kept getting more intense and more worse, and it was hard to feel hope, and it was hard to feel his truth at that moment. And yet, I remember the one appointment where I was told, worst case scenario, I need a lung transplant. Like, I'm like, who tells you that? You need a lung transplant. Great. I remember walking downstairs in the hospital, Toronto General Hospital, and there's a Starbucks downstairs. And I remember sitting at the Starbucks for 2 hours, staring into space because I was so in shock. And here I was shaking. And yet in my spirit, I heard a voice so clear saying over and over and over again, who is your physician? Who is your physician? Who is your physician? Who is your physician? I had just walked out of a meeting with the top cardiologist in the world, even. These are cardiologists that are shaking the medical field. These are cardiologists that have international renown. This cardiologist that is my cardiologist is the head of the cardiologist department of University of Toronto. Like, he's like up there. And I just came from meeting from the best of the best. And God is saying, who is your physician? And at that moment, everything in me was saying, yeah, but God, you are, but this is what doctors are saying. Yeah, but, and I had so much doubt in my heart because I'm like, God, you are my physician, and yet my physical situations in my life are not showing what else I can do. And God kept saying over and over and over again, who is your physician? Who is your physician? Who is your physician? And as he was saying that, he said to me, Linda, where the doctors end is where I begin. Where the doctors end is where I begin. Where the doctors end is where I begin. He kept speaking that into my spirit. I would like to say after I heard that voice and I heard it over and over again that I was living in faith and bounding around like a gazelle. Woo-hoo! I was not. That was the beginning of a 2.5-year process of going into major, major, major valleys. I have been through some serious depression. I was watching TV the other day, and I was on this American channel, and you know how they have these commercials for medication, and they're like these happy families, like, oh, there's butterflies, and they're going into the park, and in the background, they're like, side effects are liver disease, heart disease, lungs, lung cancer, death. You know, you're like, great. So anyway, I had one of those commercials. And they're saying, do you suffer from? And they listed all of these symptoms. And it was an antidepressant drug. And every single symptom they listed, I was in shock. I was like, I had that for a full 2 years. If not, a vein of that my entire life. And I just sat there in shock thinking, wow, God, I cannot believe what you have brought me from and what you've brought me through. Because though the past 2 years and 2.5 years have been some of the most difficult years of my life, I have experienced what I'm about to talk about today, is that no matter what we go through, no matter what our struggles are, no matter what our circumstances say, he remains the same. And in him remaining the same, that doesn't mean, oh, he's God, he can remain the same, while I'm a mortal that's struggling in life while he watches over me saying, oh, you'll figure out at some point. No. Him remaining the same is setting a standard where we can walk just as he walks, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in that confidence, in that knowledge, in that truth, where we walk spirit to spirit in unison with who he is. Why am I talking about this? Just even in my own personal journey, I went through such low lows that at one point I said to God, God, I can't even love you right now. I need you to love me because I have no love left. I have no love for myself. I have no love for even my husband. I'm like, I have no love for life. And for those who know me really well, I am passionate about food. So passionate about food that we went to Cuba. Mike, Gwen, Selah, myself, and Sam went to Cuba. We had a great time on a work retreat, which is kind of like a vacation, really. It was a vacation. And the beach was beautiful. The place we stayed at was gorgeous, like the palm trees everywhere, beautiful pool. And yet, by the end of the week, I was so depressed every meal. I was like, I'm like mealtimes, I got hungry and I felt sad. I'm like, I have to go eat again because the Cuban food was just horrid. I mean, it was okay the first 3 days, but after eating 18 of the same fish dish, you kind of get sick of fish. I can't handle it. So yeah, I had a really hard time for food. But for those of you who know me, I'm passionate about food. Almost to the point where my father-in-law makes fun of me that
one out of every two Facebook statuses I put up is about food. Honestly, if you did a little scroll, you'd be like, oh man, this is like a little bit of an obsession. I was going through such a low that I couldn't even make my, I wasn't even excited to eat. Like that's sad, you know, like when you're like, wow, that's the one thing you look forward to on a really bad day is your next, is your meal. Like the fact that I couldn't even eat was really, really rough. And I was also at a time where in my mind, every single second, I would say probably at least 100 times a day, I would say in my mind, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And it wasn't so much like a death wish, more, God, get me out of here. You know, like, I just want to go to Jesus and be with Jesus. And in that struggle and in that place, I began to really shake God and say, is everything that you say real? Is everything that you say true? Is everything that you say relevant in my life? Is everything that you say what you say you are? Right? And in James, I just want to look in James, if we can look into James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And it's talking about consider it all joy when you experience trials. I remember when I was going through all of the physical stuff, people would come up to me and be like, Linda, this is going to make a great testimony. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, in my face, I'm like, yeah, thank you. And in my head, I'm like, shut up. I don't feel like it's going to be a testimony. How dare you say that to me? And I'm like, this is the most horrible thing in the world. And yet, it says in James, and it also says it in 1 Peter 1, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then it goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For he must ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a surf in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought to expect what he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That is so challenging, because reading a verse like that and thinking about all that I was going through, I'm like, I am definitely someone who's double-minded, tossed by the waves, right? Like one second I'm like, yes, God is my healer. And the other second I'm like, no, he's not. That's what I'm going through. Anyway, so as I'm going through this, and I need to speed along because I'm running out of time. But as I was going through this, I began to really ask God, are you truly my healer? What does that mean? What does that look like? And I'm saying, God, will you just begin to rescue me from my pit? Will you rescue me from what I'm going through? Will you rescue me from the depths of despair? And then I began to feel the love of God beginning to touch me right where I'm at and right where I was at. He began to show me that his love for me was so incredibly unconditional. And I want to encourage any one of you that is going through a real time of a crossroad in your life where you're going through a major circumstance, I want you to let yourself be. Let yourself be a child in the arms of your Father and say, God, let your love rescue me right now. Let your love reach out to me and meet me where I'm at. And he began to lift me up, and he began to, I remember I had some friends who just began to rally around me and began to pray. I've had so many people pray for me, and yet it was one of those moments where I just began to feel the Spirit of God being like the wind that began to raise me up from despair, like almost like I had my wings out, but I couldn't flap. You know, when you're like, I'm like, I can barely have my wings out, and I had my wings out, and I felt like him blowing me above my circumstances. And as I began to say, God, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you to take a hold of me. I need your truth to be real in my life. He began to strengthen my spirit man. He began to strengthen me from the inside out. And as I began to experience him, I began to experience his joy. And so there's a major turning point that happened where I began to say, God, I am going to stand by your word. I am going to stand by the truth, because you're either God or you're not, right? You're either God or you're not, and I know you're God because you've been so faithful in my life. You've been so true in my life that I can't doubt you. And I remember when a while back, I always judged the children of Israel. You know, how many of you ever thought the children of Israel in Exodus were such whiny babies, right? They're such whiny babies. Like, they experience manna from heaven, for goodness sake, and they're still whining. And then finally God gives them quail, and then they still whine. And then God gives them water out of a bleeping rock, and they whine. I'm like, are you serious? They saw like an aquarium of fish side by side with no glass holding the water back. Like, how do you doubt God after that, you know? And I always judge them. And then God kind of turned it back on me, right? He's like, Linda, haven't I shown myself faithful to you time after time after time? Haven't I done miracle after miracle in your life? And he began to remind me of the times where he has come through. I remember when I was rollerblading and I fell on this elbow so badly that for 3 weeks I couldn't even lift my arm out like this. I was in so much pain. And I remember I was at church and one of our pastors says, God is healing an elbow. And I'm like, that's mine. And I'm like, whoop. All of a sudden, the pain was completely gone. And I'm like, he's like, don't you remember that? And then he reminded me of a time where we were at a park and we're celebrating someone's birthday and we met a stranger who's, I don't know if any of you have heard me share the story, but his knee was facing straight, but his foot was facing a full 90 degrees outside. So if you can imagine, this is what his legs look like, but his knee was right here. Because he used to be a Canadian champion gymnast as a child, and he was doing a trampoline routine, and his foot, he didn't land on his foot properly, that it snapped over and came around at the knee. So he had surgery after surgery after surgery, was in excruciating pain always, and here he was talking to us, trying to show off how gross and how cool his disability was. And so his foot would be like this, and yet he'd be bending straight, if you can imagine that. And then, so here he is doing this, and all of a sudden, me and a couple of friends were like, are you in pain? He's like, oh, always, always. And he's a young guy, probably my age, probably even younger. Like, can we pray for you? Like, yeah. He's like, sure. He was kind of drunk too. And so we're like, okay. And so I put my hand on his knee. And my friends put their hand on my hands and on his knee. I literally felt under my hand cracking and crinkling under my hand. Where I literally felt it as we're praying. Less than 5 minutes. I'm saying 3 minutes maybe. And by the time we moved our hand, his knee was completely in line with his foot. And he was completely, completely healed.